Well, we had a wonderful trip to Florida. I apologize that I look so feeble, but I've had quite a time of recovery, but I think we're on the mend, so we'll see how that goes. But we had a wonderful time, got to visit with Shelley's family, got to enjoy some wonderful traffic in Atlanta. Had quite a while to look at it, as a matter of fact, as we sat still on I-75. But we had a wonderful time, great meal, great time of fellowship, and we made it safe down there and back. It took us 4 days round trip, two down, two back, and we were glad to get home. So anyway, I missed you. I'm glad to be here today, and I'm assuming Steve did okay. I got less emails this time than last time. So I appreciate Steve and all the work that he does in helping us along the way. He and Hallie are certainly a blessing in my life, and we have got acquainted with them just as you have on a much more personal basis since Steve has been here with us. So thank you, Steve, for doing that for me and taking care of that. So the next few weeks, we're going to enter a little different phase of preaching. I make no excuses for preaching or what the Word of God says or how I do it. You just, it's kind of like a bologna. You can just chop her off anywhere you want to and eat what you want and spit out what you don't. So the next few weeks, for the next several weeks, we're going to just celebrate Christmas. Is that okay? We're going to have Christmas stories. We're going to talk about some things that are relative in that story to us. As we move through this process, this week we'll preach on the announcement of the birth to Mary and the ramifications of that and how that equates to our lives. Next week we'll talk about Joseph, the angelic announcement to Joseph. That was quite a challenge, quite a step of faith for Joseph. The following week will be the Christmas story, which we all enjoy. I doubt if I have any new context there for you. But we'll see what we can do, and then the following week we'll be on Simeon, one of my favorite characters in all Scripture, the man who came and saw the Christ child and said, "Now it is right for me to go. I have seen the promised one, the victory." So we begin today with understanding the beginning of John 3:16. That God loved the world so much. You might ask today, why did he send a Savior? Why do we have Christmas to begin with? We're celebrating the birth of Christ. Well, really, we're celebrating much more than that as a Christian. We are celebrating the promised Messiah, the solution, the answer to the great dilemma that Adam and Eve caused in the garden many, many years prior to that. The law could not fulfill that. But God could, and he did. And it wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't that the law failed and then God cooked up this plan of Jesus. No, it says they were together from the beginning. So Jesus was in on the planning of this thing from the very beginning. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, before the world was ever planned and designed anew, that man would be disobedient, that man would be sinful, that man could not be obedient in the garden. And God said, we have to make a provision for man. Why did he do that? The theme of Christmas, because he loved us. Not because we were naughty or nice, because we are both, but because he chose to love us for who we are. What a great truth that is. What a comforting promise that is, that I don't have to live up to some expectation for God to love me. That if he created us, the Bible says he loved us. And of course, the story of Mary is one of my very favorite stories, because I believe, as do many theologians, and hopefully you do too, that she was but just a child. I think Mary was about 14 years old. Now, you know, it's not the gospel, because I can't prove it, but you can't prove me wrong either. So I think she was about 14. probably about the same age as David was when he was chosen king. Tells us something about our Heavenly Father, doesn't it? He's no respecter of age or persons. As a matter of fact, we're going to learn that Mary was found favor with God like no other woman had found favor with God. How in the world did that happen? Well, let's look in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 28. This is the glorious announcement that lets us know that God has a plan. He had a plan for her life, and He has a plan for our life as well. And so today, as we read the story of this plan that God had for Mary, it should beg to us the question, what is the plan that God has for me? Or what is the plan? Who are we entertaining here in this mystery box? What Billy Graham? What Corrie ten Boom? Who are these people that we're investing and training in? For you see, God looks at us differently than we look at ourselves. Now the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled in his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today that you know us, you see us, you understand us, you created us, but Father, you keep track of even the very hairs on top of our head. Father, help us to understand we're not here by accident. That Lord, we're here by design. You created us. And Father, you created us to bring honor and glory to your name. And Lord, this story announces to us in huge, loud tones that that's what we're to be about. Lord, teach me in my life how to honor you, how to bring praise to you, how to lift up your name, how to exalt you. For Lord, you were Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, what a privilege it is for you to live within our hearts and teach us your ways and your understanding. Now, Lord, speak to us today as we celebrate this Christmas season, as we celebrate this young girl who knew probably nothing about what the eternal ramifications of what God was asking her to do. But yet, as we're going to read, Lord, she said, "Whatever it is that you have for me, do it." Lord, speak to us this morning. And may we also say, as Mary said, "Whatever you have for me, do it." We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can imagine Mary as she's going about her day, and she obviously was a good Jewish girl, had kept the law, had been obedient to God. She honored God in her life. She honored God in her prayers. She honored God in studying probably the scriptures. She was not a rebellious child. She had a gentle nature. We assume all of those things because she found favor with God. Today, if we want to find favor with God, we got to do the things He tells us to do, right? We were talking this morning in Sunday school about the law. And we talked about what does it mean when you hear law? Well, Scripture tells us, and the very meaning and definition of the law is instruction. To teach us, to give us boundaries, to give us rules. And Mary obviously was very good at all of those things. because she found favor with God. Jesus tells us in the New Testament, if you love me, keep my commandments. My mother would often say, Frank, if you loved me, you wouldn't behave that way. Now, she knew I loved her, so her object was to try to guilt me into doing what I should do. And I will tell you, it worked. I confessed a multitude of sins at her casket when she was dead that I did not want her to know, nor did I ever tell her previously those things I had been involved in. Because mother's love kept me out of a lot of things, because I thought, if I'm part of that and mother finds out, it will kill her. So I'm not going to do it. Said no. Now, it didn't keep me out of everything, as you learned a few weeks ago, but it kept me out of a lot. Kept me from being disobedient. The love of Christ kept me out of a lot. Not because of a harsh discipline, but because of a love. Now, when I was a baby and a toddler in a diaper, yes. As a matter of fact, my aunt told me that my grandmother would get after my dad because every time I would toddle by him in my diaper, he would reach out and swat me on that diaper. And when I'd come back by, he'd swat me again. And she said, one day your grandma got aggravated with that and said, Barney, why do you swat that boy every time he goes by you? And my aunt said, without lowering the paper, he said, he's either going to get in something or he's been in something. It wasn't because of the discipline that I wanted to be obedient. It was initially, and I found that behaving hurt a lot less than misbehaving. But you grow pretty fast past that. If you're still in the phase where God is making life uncomfortable for you because you're not being obedient to Him, I have a great word of wisdom for you this morning. Smarten up. Smarten up a little bit. God does it because He loves us. We're His children, and He wants us to be obedient to Him. There's no harder time in all the world than when you're a teenager trying to sort through what living for God really looks like. And you will make a ton of mistakes. But I've discovered, as being one of those teenagers, God is always there to correct me and to love me back. Mary was that kind of girl. She wanted desperately to be obedient, to be pleasing to her master. Notice here, the only thing that the angel says to her is, do not be afraid. She had enough understanding of God to know that God didn't visit everybody, and when He did, it's probably a good reason for you to be afraid. If you wake up in the night and God's talking to you, I would say fear would be a very good thing to come over you in the beginning, because the evidence of God speaking to us is not the norm. And He said to her, but when she saw him, she was troubled at His saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. He had said, you are highly favored among the Lord, rejoice. He's telling her to be happy. Blessed are you among women. She couldn't understand the salutation. What is He saying to us? Many times when God speaks to us, we don't know what He's saying. And it's because we have to step out by faith. We have to understand the circumstances. Maybe we need to read Scripture. Maybe we need to understand what God wants us to do. I think I shared a couple of weeks ago that we were going to Shelley's family, and one of her family members is a Buddhist. And sure enough, there was a Buddha statue in the backyard. And it's her sister, her youngest baby sister, kid sister. And while I didn't get to talk to her, the man that she lives with had all kinds of questions for me. Not about Buddhism, about what happens when we die. And we were sitting watching the ball game away from all the others, and he asked me numerous questions about what happens when we die. And I got to share the gospel, you know, kind of shared it backwards, coming out of hell to grace. But whatever it takes, that's what we try to do. And I got to share with him in a very controlled, calm environment for him that I'm sure he felt very comfortable about. His last words to me I thought were interesting. They were these. Well, it certainly gives me a lot to think about, doesn't it? And I said, yes, sir, and you ought to think about it. You ought to think about it. Because, you see, I know he doesn't need me to come to the understanding that he needs Christ. He's got enough evidence now. He's got enough understanding now that the Holy Spirit will be able to work with him with what little evidence he has. The Holy Spirit could work with him with nothing. But now he certainly has something he can look on and ponder on and think about. Mary must have pondered, what does this mean? Well, little did she know the glorious promise that it would be, and not only the glorious promise it would be, but the impact that it would carry in the world for many years to come, including today. Do you realize that most of the world celebrates Christmas? And whatever percentage that is, and I could make one up, most percentages are, whatever percentage that is of the world, do you know the largest percentage of that number don't believe what they celebrate? They're celebrating Christmas. But they would tell you that the Bible is full. That's myth. There's no truth to that. How in the world, Brother Frank, can you believe that foolishness? How in the world can you celebrate Christmas? Because you don't understand what Christmas is about. Mary would impact the world from that time forward because she was willing to listen to God and be obedient to him. My mentor, Dean Spencer, many years ago told me, Frank, no matter what you do in the gospel, no matter what you do in ministry, no matter how far you go or what accolades you have laid at your feet, what awards you win, honors you get, no matter how big a church you pastor, there is nothing you will do greater than lead one soul to the kingdom. It is the crowning achievement in this life. Mary said, I don't understand. I don't understand what manner of greeting this is. Then the angel said to her, Mary, don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, I want you to think for just a minute. If you were a 14-year-old girl living in Jewish society, and an angel tells you you're gonna have a child, that would be terrifying, wouldn't it? Now I understand why he said, don't be afraid. He might not have been talking about then. He might be talking about what I'm going to tell you. Don't be afraid, for you found favor with God. And he says to her, bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Man, there are so many things that he's told her there, and she's still stuck on the very first one. Isn't that how we get? She's still trying to figure out how I'm going to have a baby. She missed the part where he says, this child will rule the nations and the house of Jacob, there will be no end. Folks, that's how we know we win, right here. God says we win. We're going to win. The kingdom of God is going to come about. She says, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. You know, Mary does what most of us do when we get a word that we don't understand. She wants to know the whys. the hows, the ramifications. But in the context of what she's saying here, read beyond the written words and you will realize that she is not throwing up any kind of rejection at all, but she's asking questions of how can this be? Here's my challenge for you this morning. I've been here many times. I feel like the Lord wants me to do something. How do I know that it's what He wants me to do? Frank, I want you to go out to some little Mennonite church. It's been Mennonite forever. You've driven by it 100 times, and you've seen it and thought, what a picturesque, what a beautiful little church. But they're not Baptist. Worse yet, they're not Southern Baptist. And they got some guys that are, you know, mean out there. They're not all that nice. They're not going to like a Southern Baptist all that well. Ellen, now they got over it. I'm just telling you. I'm glad you're here today. Got a little support back there behind Henri Phil. Is a lady who has been attending the Baptist Church in Stover, the Southern Baptist Church in Stover. And so, bless you, my child. So, you begin to ask the question, God, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I have the ability. I'm not sure I can cross the denominational line. God, I don't know what makes you think they'll receive me. Lord, how does all this work? And God must be in heaven drumming His fingers going, yada, 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 yada. Just do what I tell you to do, Frank. Just surrender to the authority that I give to you. I don't hear Mary rejecting here. I hear Mary accepting. Before I accepted your invitation to come and even talk to your deacons, I talked to a friend of mine by the name of Jim Shaver. And Jim Shaver has been a good old Southern Baptist for many years. And he said to me, you're not seriously considering this, are you? And I said, well, yeah, I am. I kind of feel like God may be leading me this direction. And he said, well, brother, I would sure pray about it, as if I don't pray. And I said, well, I'm planning on it. I'm planning on praying about it. That's why I'm telling you, Jim, I want you to pray with me. Well, I'll sure pray for you. And he meant that a whole different way, I'm sure. Mary, when she is confronted with this angelic announcement, this great announcement, she doesn't say, Lord, I can't do that. She says, how can this be? Her position was not that it can't be done, but how can it be done? Isn't that a great word for us today? When I was a kid learning to play baseball, and I had some great coaches through the years, and they taught me, if you go to the plate and you don't expect to hit the ball, there's a good chance you won't. Two things I tell kids. You can teach anybody to hit a baseball. I don't care who's pitching it. You can teach them. Number one, you got to teach them to keep their eye on the ball. And number two, they have to want to hit it. If they don't want to hit it, if they just want to get on base, if they're looking for a walk, they'll never hit it. However, I didn't walk much because I wanted to hit it. And so I either struck out or hit it, one of the two, because that's what I wanted to do. Mary wanted to be that servant that God wanted her to be. I believe it with all my heart. She had a young 14-year-old heart that said, whatever I can do. She wasn't thinking about glory. She wasn't thinking about the salary. She wasn't thinking about anything except, how can I do this to please my Lord? You say, Brother Frank, how do you know that? Because she was highly favored by God. She had the right heart. She had the right position. Now, let me take just a minute here, Steve. You know, we often talk about what makes great pastors, what makes great preachers. It's those who have a heart to love God's people, even the mean ones, you know. Got to love them all, good sheep, bad sheep, ugly sheep, pretty sheep, all the sheep. They're all sheep, and you got to love them all. And God tells us that when we step into the realm of not doing our will, but doing His will, it's no longer about us. We surrender that to Him. And if we have the right attitude, we do it willingly. And so, God's able to bless us in ways that we cannot imagine. I was talking to some of Shelley's relatives, my relatives, and they asked me about you, about this Mennonite church. Now, they think you're showing up in horses and buggies and flat black tops hats and all. And I kind of straightened them out, told them you really look like normal people. You weren't, but you look like it. And they said, is it hard? And I said, no, it's not hard at all. I said, as a matter of fact, they're the kindest church I've ever pastored. And you are. I think God, now, I've never had any mean churches, so don't hear something I'm not saying. I've always had great churches. My best one and my worst one is the same church, by the way. I stayed long enough, they got over it. But I told them they're the kindest people I've ever met in my life. They love each other. They love me. They love you. If you'd come, they'd love you. And you could tell they were kind of looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. But you see, that's what happens when God gets in the mix, isn't it? All of a sudden, He does some things that we cannot comprehend or understand why He does them, and yet He does them to bring honor and glory to Him. Mary, I love the story of Mary. The angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary was a courageous young woman who trusted God in her life. The way I know it is because nowhere here does she say no or stop or wait a minute. Hold on, I can't do this. None of that language. This week I went to the doctor on Monday and had a little cancer taken off the top of my ear because I was stubborn and didn't wear hats or sunblock and all that kind of stuff. And they got in there with a little razor and scraped that out, you know, took a little chunk of that out and sent it off. And that part didn't worry me too much, but when he said, "I'm going to numb that up some," I thought, they're going to stick a needle in my ear. Now, I'm a diabetic. I stick myself all the time. I'm not afraid of needles, but in my ear? Are you serious? Now, I'm a child of the 70s, but I never partook in those things. So I don't understand all this poking needles wherever you can get them in. And so, sure enough, he said, "Now," I said, is this going to hurt? I'm already telling him I'm afraid, right? Is this going to hurt? I don't like pain a lot. I'll just be honest with you. And he said, "No, this is not going to hurt." And he said, "Hold on, you'll feel a little prick." He stuck it in there. I said, "Liar." He lied to me. That hurt crazy. That hurt more than anything else. The ears healed up and all that's good, but that's the part that hurt. And you see, my response to him is I would rather not do that. I would rather not have the pain that goes along with accomplishing what needs to be accomplished. Mary never says that in that passage. As a matter of fact, she recognizes that the angel is from God, and she says, or he says to her, when she says, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" She's not saying it can't happen, I don't know a man. She realizes who she's talking to. How are you going to make this happen? And he says the Holy Spirit's going to come over you and overpower you. Would that not scare you to death? Barb, you're going to go home tonight, and in a dream, the Holy Spirit's going to come over you and talk to you. Well, that might not scare Barb. That'd scare me to death. Can we leave the light on? Can we have some music playing? Something. Lord, you're going to do this in the dark? Why would you do this in the dark? Not Mary. She was unafraid. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Now, people, theologians will argue with me, and that's okay. They don't know everything. I believe Mary was enough of a Bible scholar to know what that meant. I believe Mary was anticipating the coming of the Messiah just like everybody else. And all of a sudden, he reveals to her right here, he will be called the Son of God. And she says, hey, I know who that is. Wait a minute. Am I going to be the mother of the Messiah? I believe that she began that faith walk right that minute that she heard what God had for her. Church, today we begin our faith walk following God long before we understand the details. Long before we know what is expected. Long before we understand what the rules are, we make up our mind, okay, I'm going to take the next step, the next step, the next step. I'm going to trust that God knows what he's doing here, and that's what I'm going to do. That's exactly what Mary did. Now, indeed, the scripture tells us, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Why is he telling her this story? And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. He's telling Mary, don't count him out. You know Elizabeth? She's pretty old. And she's been barren, and they've wanted a child forever, and guess what? God heard Zachariah's prayer, and she's pregnant. So, nothing's impossible with God. You see, what he's doing is reassuring her. Hey, you let me take care of the details. You trust him. How can it be? How does it work? Well, we put our faith in Christ and we take the next step and the next step and the next step. I think there's a reason God doesn't give me, and I assume you, the next step for us to see. Because you see, he tells us we got to walk by faith. And when I can see the next step, I'm not walking by faith. I'm walking by sight. I don't believe Jesus had stones hidden in the sea when he walked on the water. I believe he put his faith and power in God Almighty, and everything was at his disposal. Today, when we step out in faith and we are obedient to Christ because of the affirmation of something he's called us to, we have to walk by faith. We have to take the next step by faith. Bethel, you are fixing to engage in steps of faith in the next few weeks, next few months. You're going to have to decide who's going to be an interim for you. That's a step of faith. He might not look like you think he ought to look. He might not behave the way you think he ought to behave. He might be a Baptist. You never know. God forbid. Really, now? That's the one. Perfect. We have to walk by faith, trusting him, believing that he knows best. God, whatever you have for us, that's what we want. Because, Lord, we believe, verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. The days that lie ahead of Bethel are not impossible any more than the days that lay ahead of Mary were impossible. For the same God that was there with her is the same God that we worship here today. Amen? And he is still as powerful as he ever was, and his intent and will has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if we're obedient and we're learning from Mary, this 14-year-old girl, then we learn that we trust him and we take the next step, anticipating the next step and the next step and the next step. Now listen. We're going to close with this. I know I'm early. It's hard. Here you go. Then said Mary, verse 38, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It's a go-to verse for me when I begin to doubt, when I begin to question when I begin to ask God why, when I begin to say, God, how am I going to do that? I'm reminded that God, whatever you want from me is good enough for me. Mary said to the Lord, behold, the maidservant. You want to do something fun? Study that word a little while. Hear what she's saying. The maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your will. And then the angel departed. Folks, when we get to the place where we say to God, God, whatever you want, I'm going to surrender to that, he's got us right where he wants us. That's where we're supposed to be. It's not about how many scriptures you know. It's not about how many times you've taught a lesson or preached or how many years you've had in ministry or who your dad was or grandmother or grandfather was or any of the rest of that. It's about us being willing to say, Lord, I recognize it's you. And God, whatever you want for me, that's what I want for me. Let me have whatever that is. Now, a warning. That was Stephen's heart also, by the way. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? You see, our ways are not his ways. So Devin and Jamie and Nick and Paige, I had to run through the Rolodex just a minute, and others, these kids you've got, that you'll do what I do. When mine were little and I prayed over them, Lord, I give them to you. Oh, man, that's, you pray that out loud, people hear that, they're just so proud of you. Then one day my daughter came to me, and she said, Dad, what do you suppose if God called me to be a missionary? Hold out, time out. Are you sure you're listening to God? Because I'm pretty sure God wanted you to live right close to me within just a few miles. All of a sudden, I begin to realize, hey, when we pray to give those children over to the Lord, his plan is not our plan. Stephen had a mama. All those martyred had a mama. Today, we sit on the anniversary of one of the most horrific tragedies that ever happened to this country. 2,500 men were killed on the Hawaiian Islands this date, 1941. They all had people who deeply loved them, deeply cared for them. Many of them Christians. Many of them had professed Christ. And we would beg the question, Lord, I thought you were going to watch over us and protect us and keep us. And God says, listen, my ways are not your ways. You're a mouse going through the maze trying to find the cheese. I'm above the maze looking down. You've got to trust me. My will is sovereign. I am sovereign. I am holy. I am righteous. You are not. Friends, Mary looked beyond all that and called herself a maidservant and said, let it be. Not because of what happened to Elizabeth, not because of anything except that deep commitment within her own heart that said, I want to be obedient to him. So today I'm going to call on you. I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, where have you placed your hope? Where is your eternity resting in? What has to happen for you to say, yep, this is where God has me? I love the old hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That's what my hope lays in. If that's not true, the rest doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. But my faith is in Christ and Christ alone. I'm confident today, Mary. I preach with confidence today that Mary trusted and loved the Lord her God with all her heart, all her soul, and all her mind. And she wanted to be obedient to him no matter what the cost. This morning, that's our prayer of dedication. That's our invitation. That's our moment of reflection. Lord, am I willing to do whatever you would have me to do, regardless of the circumstances? Am I willing to be in submission to your authority over my life? If you're not there, I encourage you to pray about that. Come down if you want to. Talk with me. Pray with me. Grab somebody's hand. Pray with them. Go home and get alone in a closet and pray. But whatever you do, don't ignore God speaking to us today. For the very fact that he showed up in Mary's life, the very fact that he shows up in my life and your life, what a position of praise and honor that is to be able to say, I'm a child of the King. I'm not the pauper's son. The Heavenly Father is my Father, not because of anything I've done, but because God so loved the world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, speak to us this morning. Lord, I thank you for the faith of Mary. I thank you of her devotion and love for you. I thank you of her tenacity and her fearlessness to say, God, whatever you have for me to do, let me do it. Lord, I'm thankful for young people. I'm thankful for their exuberance. I'm thankful for their childlike faith that they step and go. Lord, help us, help me, help our churches to be ready to step and go when we know it's God that calls us. Now, Lord, speak to us this morning. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn together.